I didn't really know that it was depression. I just knew pain. And most of the time, I just wanted to sleep. I didn't want to really do anything. I just wanted the pain to go away. And for me to escape the pain, I would just sleep. And a lot of times I didn't want to go anywhere because I'm just in pain all the time. And if you believe in yourself, you can achieve and you can make it. And don't let no one discourage you. If your dreams is to do something else, like be a painter or something, don't just stay in the military if it's not you. What I'm doing now is more of me. You know, I don't think I was that much of a military person, but I feel like I did what I had to do. I'm not good at politics and stuff. I'm just like good at being me and being creative.
Welcome to another edition of the Kick Cage, and we are extremely happy to have on today former US Navy Reggie Green. Reggie, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. Let's start this little conversation off with describing yourself to me, how you were before you joined the military, your mindset, your characteristics. Basically, describe who you were before you joined the military.
I was just like a normal kid. I loved playing basketball. I had thought about going into the military after high school before that, because I knew that I just wanted to retire early so I can do whatever I wanted to do. And I guess that manifested. So that's what I'm doing now. So
why was it that you particularly chose the Navy?
I wanted to go to the Air Force, but the Air Force, there was a wait program, and I didn't want to wait. I didn't want to wait around after high school and just be working a regular job. So I kind of wanted to get started on having a career and seeing the world and stuff. So.
Obviously, you know, we all go through basic training. Now, how do you see the change in yourself, as in persona, you know, mental outlook and emotional intelligence, from the person that you were as you stepped off that bus onto the training camp and the person you were after finishing basic?
Okay, so I grew up in a military household. My dad, a retired staff sergeant in the Army, and you know, so we came up in a strict household. So he wanted us to go to the Army. I went to the Navy. My brother went to the Navy. He retired from the Navy. I did 15 years. My sister went into the National Guard. And so we all chose to do that to get the money for college and to see the world. My mom's the only one that didn't serve. She's a retired postmaster. So we were brought up in a strict household and fussed at a lot, and it was a very strict upbringing. So going to boot camp was like nothing to me, because I'm like, hey, I'm used to getting yelled at. So
just another day for you.
Yeah, I was just like, I know they can't touch me, so I'm good. I get yelled at all the time. So, you know.
Do you think having that sort of upbringing then, and having such a heritage in the family line, put you in good stead when it comes to the discipline of basic training?
Yes, as far as being on time and being having discipline, yes.
What would be the first moment while you were in the military that you struggled, be it mentally or physically?
I don't really think I had much of struggle. I think for me, the hardest part was to just anyone can talk crap to you or whatever, and just adjusting to just because someone has. I just don't feel like you had much of a voice, and just because someone has a higher rank, they can, you know, do things to you, or, you know, try to manipulate you, or just cause drama. You know, I didn't like the politics in the military. I think that was the biggest struggle for me.
I can understand that. Obviously, you know, not all of the drill instructors, not all the instructors through basic training, you know, do talk down to you. Obviously, you take a lot of inspiration from some of these people. Was there anybody from the training staff that particularly shone out to you and was like a beacon, and you were thinking, that's the sort of person I want to embody and envisage as I'm going through my military career?
Well, what's crazy is I had a dream a few weeks ago, and one of my ensigns, Ensign Scales, was in my dream, and I'm like, I wonder what happened to him. And I end up running into him at the store after not seeing him for 20 years. So I like took a picture with him, and it was just because he was an officer. He was enlisted, and then he made officer, but you know, I think he got up to lieutenant commander or something. And it was just because he was humble, and he wasn't like the type that just try to throw his rank out there, and he just acted like a normal person, and I had a lot of respect for him, and I was like, if I come up in ranks and get to that level, that's the type of person I would want to be.
I think it's always important to have that sort of person that you want to model yourself on when it comes into the military. So it's good that you found somebody like that. Now, obviously completing basic training and you're going out into the world of the military and you're getting your first posting. How's that feeling for you? Obviously coming from that accomplishment, but having the daunting task of now doing the job for real out on a vessel.
Well, I mean, it was different than, you know, I was actually told that I would be on an aircraft carrier, and it was like a cruise ship, you know, and it was completely different from a cruise ship. So I was lied to, you know, my brother was stationed with me on the ship, so at least I had a little bit of guidance from there. And I mean, it got better as I was on the ship, you know, and I start figuring out different things and you know, that nature. I'm glad that I was on an aircraft carrier, because the smaller ships, I probably would have got really seasick and it wouldn't have been that good.
What would be some fond memories that you'd look back on during your time on the carrier?
I mean, the fun for me was hitting the ports, you know, Australia, Canada, Japan. And yeah, I really liked the traveling and being able to, you know, see different cultures and countries and things like that. You know, it was just different, like Bahrain and Dubai, just it's like a culture shock. And, you know, I think a lot of people don't get to experience that. And for me, that was just like eye-opening to see how different cultures operate and different things of that nature.
Were you able to take that on board, obviously visiting all these countries and experiencing their cultures? Do you think that changed you as a person as well?
In a sense, it made me feel like we're fortunate to be here in the United States, but also it taught me how to be more thrifty with my money when I saw, like, when I went to Korea and saw how much they raised the prices when we come back to the US and stuff. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm never paying full price for stuff. I'm going to wait and get it on sale because the price gap and everything. So, you know, I think that changed me. I became more responsible with my money and different things of that nature.
Let's fast forward up. You were medically discharged from the Navy. Is that correct?
No, I'm actually still working on that. They should have discharged me I suffer from migraines and headaches after I'd taken the anthrax shot on the ship. So ever since then, you know, my migraines and stuff started in 2001. So I'm actually working on trying to get that overturned. I did 15 years and I was struggling a lot through those years, even finishing up my bachelor's because of my headaches. But I finished my bachelor's. I still have the headaches and migraines. But lucky for me, I found art, something that I can do to help with that.
When obviously you're getting discharged from the military due to, you know, these headaches that you put down to the anthrax medicine, how did that make you feel? Because obviously, you know, you've envisioned this career, long-term goal of, you know, taking it out to retirement, something that you obviously all the way through high school had thought about, and obviously your father had instilled into you. How did that make you feel mentally and emotionally at that point when they were discharging you?
Well, I got a little depressed, more so because I was having all this pain and I just didn't really feel like I could go and do much, you know, out on the regular. And you can't like go to all the medical appointments and all that stuff that you can when you're in the military. You don't have access to all the medical facilities and stuff. So, you know, when I got out, I was a little depressed, and I basically for 2 years after I got out, I pretty much just stayed in most of the time and tried to figure out ways to feel better, getting acupuncture and, you know, trying different holistic things to function, you know. So that's what I did. And you know, that's when kind of after that is when my art journey began, because, you know, me finding recreational therapy and finding ways to take my mind off my pain elements.
From all the veterans that I've spoken to, I think you are the first veteran that's used art in a physical form as part of a therapy process. You know, when you were feeling depressed, how did you find yourself steered towards art as an outlet? Have you always been an arty person, or was it something that you were introduced to in this time period in your life?
In high school, I needed an elective, so I took a half a semester of ceramics. We did coil pots, and I made two coil pots, and I was wondering what happened to them. And then my teacher told me that they were entered in some shows, and I got like first and second place on them. And, you know, I thought that was cool because I never touched art before that, you know, and I wanted to get back to art, but, you know, I went into the military and I didn't have a kiln or anything to fire or anything. And I just didn't know how I was going to get back to it. And I actually didn't think of it until like, my dad told me that since I was having depression and stuff, I should go check out recreational therapy programs. And they introduced me to crafts and Sculpty. And when I found out about Sculpty, you can put it in the oven and, you know, make little sculptures and stuff. You know, I was just like, wow, I can do something with this. And then from there, I entered some things in art shows, and it seemed like I was getting first, second place and on my little stuff that I made. And then I founded vetart.org, you know, the Veterans Art Project, and they were doing bronze casting. So then I went to go check out that program. And then from there, it was just like, I'm volunteering because I love doing it, and they end up hiring me. So,
I mean, from that little segment there, there's a lot to unpack. Now, if I could just circle back to the start of that, you said that your father noticed that you were in this depressive state. Yeah. Were there other, you know, relatives that were close by that recognized that you're in this this state of mind? When they approached you and told you that this is what they observed, were you receptive to what they were saying, or did you already know this, or did you try and shrug it off?
Well, I didn't really know that it was depression. I just knew pain. And most of the time, I just wanted to sleep. I didn't want to really do anything. I just wanted the pain to go away. And for me to escape the pain, I would just sleep. And a lot of times, I didn't want to go anywhere because I'm just in pain all the time. And you know, but, you know, I had to find a way to push myself out in the world and back into life and try to function with the pain, you know, so.
And, you know, were you receptive when your father said that you had depression, or do you think you didn't quite believe it yourself at that point?
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure. I just knew that I struggled with the pain, and I struggled with, you know, different people in the military, and I end up going to mental health while being in the military. I had conflicts with supervisors and different things, and that's when I was pretty much diagnosed with depression and stuff like that, just having a hard time dealing with my pain and dealing with people.
And was this diagnosed when you were out of the military? I'm just trying to surmise, was there anything from the VA that was available to you that you went through, or was it something that you were very much dealing with on your own?
Well, prior to getting out the military, I had a therapist, you know, to help me get through some things. And then once I got out, I didn't go see therapy for a little bit because, you know, I guess I was more depressed and I just kind of stayed in. But I ended up getting another therapy and a therapist. And then that's when I started doing the recreational therapy, too. I enjoyed that more than, you know, just talking to people, you know. So
let's look at the art you create then. So obviously, I've spoken to a lot of veterans that authors, and they're putting a lot of their memories and thoughts and feelings onto paper. Now, with this art that you're sculpting, is it the same sort of thing? You're taking what's inside of you and creating something to release it from yourself, or are you doing it to like a live sculpture, imitate something that you see?
Well, I will have to say my first love was basketball. And when I hurt myself in the military, I also hurt my back while I was in the military doing like some routines and stuff. And I was the bigger guy, so they would always have me move stuff. So, yeah. So I didn't have anything that I really loved. When I found art, it's something that I finally could love and be passionate about. I started volunteering. Just a guy asked me to volunteer at the African Latin Museum when I went to go check it out, because I always loved art. I just didn't know that I could create art, you know. And I actually collected other people's art sometimes and then resold it, and some things I kept. And I would always look at art and I was like, oh, this is cool, but if it was me, I would have made it this way or that way. Yeah. So basically, I pretty much took some of the things that I learned at the African Latin Museum and some historic things. And I always been drawn to like ancient civilization type stuff, the Egyptians and Mayans and stuff like that. So I just kind of merged everything that I knew together, and just a lot of times I don't really have images of stuff. I just go in there. I call it clay doodling, and I just start going away and making stuff. And some things are inspired by, you know, different African tribes or Egyptian stuff. But sometimes I just go and I just make whatever. So
like you're saying, you were approached by this organization to help teach art. Now, what sort of feeling was that for you to obviously be going through this journey yourself, but then to be reached out to help others in their journey as well?
Well, I found it. So the program basically offered free bronze casting classes for veterans. And basically you go in and they cast your face, and then they show you how to make your face into bronze or whatever. So my first thing is I didn't want to drive that far because it was an hour away, but I wanted to make myself into an Egyptian pharaoh. So that's what I planned to do. So I went down there. I started working on my piece and making myself an Egyptian pharaoh. And then that's when they told me, hey, just keep doing what you're doing. There may be a job opportunity for you. So I'm just like, wow, me out of all the veterans. And I love like being there. And to me, it was like a win-win because I wanted to do something that helped veterans and I wanted to create art. So me volunteering there was just like a win-win. And then when they hired me, it was just like, wow, this is what, I mean, it's like a dream come true in a sense, you know, I can help other veterans. And also I always been passionate about since, you know, this helps me, you know, with my pain, I'm like, maybe it can help other veterans so they won't go to depend on drugs or something negative. This is a positive outlet to help them with their mental health or traumas or different things like that.
And with it almost being a circle, how does that make you feel knowing that you're helping the veterans as well?
Oh man, it makes me feel great. You know, it's like I said, it's like a dream come true that, you know, that people will come and ask me questions and that I can get reach people and, you know, cause I think art is therapy. I think art helps people, you know, and I hope that we have more programs like this, you know. I mean, I would do what I do for free, you know, because I just love, you know, touching people and just having people do something positive and be able to create. Cause some people come in there with no experience, just like me. And I'm like, look, you can focus on this. This will take your mind off those negative things. And, you know, just seeing a smile on their face, like when they're creating something, the feeling that I had got when I found out that I could create stuff. I mean, that brings me joy. And I have ideas for days. So I pitch them ideas and I see them light up and like, that's a good idea. So that's also, you know, a good feeling for me.
When, the veterans have made these pieces, do you put them on display? Do you have like open days where the public can come and see them?
We're working on that, trying to have a display room. But as of now, we have a little contract, a Mossad contract that basically allows us to veterans to go to different parts of California right now and show our art. Like, so the people that make a lot of pieces, they can go around different parts of California and show their art, and they give us a sniping and put us in a hotel room and pay for our food. So it's a good program. So I think it's more programs are like that are necessary because it also allows veterans to be amongst themselves that understand each other and be able to create.
How important do you feel that that is, that, you know, veterans are around veterans that, you know, understand the troubles and trials that they're going through in their own mind?
I think people like to relate to people. So I think it's a great community because, you know, some things civilians just don't understand. You know, sometimes even with our benefits, they think we're just getting free money, but they don't know the different traumas and different things that we had to go through while being inside the military. You know, you have other people with similar traumas and similar pains that, you know, when they hear your story, they can relate to it and they want to be involved and help out and stuff. So.
And obviously you're doing very well on sort of social media with your Instagram posts and showing your art and what you can bring to the world. How does that make you feel as well, having that sort of social media outlet to show the things that you create as well?
Well, I don't think my social media is that big right now. Hopefully I can get it out there and people can see what I do. I mean, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just trying to get more exposure so some people can see my art and let me know what they think. And, you know, and also, you know, just getting people to donate to the Vet Art program and or get other veteran programs going, you know, to help out other veterans that are going through because they may not do sculpture, but there may be some paint classes or some music classes that they can get in. I think whatever it is that can create an interest in a veteran that, that gives them something positive to do, that would be ideal. I would be happy seeing someone do something like that instead of suicide or getting addicted to drugs and alcohol. I would rather them do something creative that, that brings them joy and gives them peace.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. When veterans are turning to self-medication and destructive patterns, it's very difficult for them to see internally that they're doing wrong. They're trying to cope in a certain way, and it does take an outside person to try and steer them in a more positive direction. So fantastic. Keep up the great work on that. What does VetArt hold in the future then? Obviously being based in California, are you thinking of going nationwide? And obviously you said hopefully in the future some sort of displays for the artwork that the veterans do.
I believe my director Steve Dilley is trying to expand VetArt in different areas, but you know the problem is fundings. But we pretty much have the only facility that offers these things. We had the bronze casting, but that went down during COVID due to a lack of funding, and that was an interesting program. So right now we offer ceramics and glass fusing, and we're trying to get more programs, and we're trying to get more locations so more veterans can go to it, because a lot of times when veterans find out about the Veterans Art Project, they're like surprised that it even exists. So we're trying to get the word out. We're trying to get, facilities pretty much all over. So, you know, when veterans get out and they're going through transition, it gives them a place to go, gives them an outlet. And we focus also on mental wealth. So, you know, it gives them an activity to be around other veterans and also be able to create and have that creative outlet.
I like that, mental wealth. I think I'm going to steal that phrase with pride and and use myself. I like that, mental wealth. So again, with veteran art being, you know, quite small, as you put it in your words, but, you know, I found it on social media. What can somebody who's watching this or listen to this, what can they do to help the cause and help you?
They can go to vetart.org and they can donate, or they can talk to my director about, like, potentially expanding the organization to have buildings and stuff inside their area, you know, where they can participate and do things like that. And he'll tell you what we need or whatever. But also, like, supporting, programs like the MASAC program, that helps veterans travel different places, showing their art and things of that nature. I mean, I get pretty much some good exposure being with VetArt. I'm one of the instructors for them, and I do a lot of the outreach, and mostly I just try to get people to come and just try it out. And to me, it may be life changing. So I pretty much tell everyone I know, try to give them a card and just come take some free classes. And I'm like, it's free. Why not? I mean, it helped me a lot. So I'd be passionate about, like, letting other veterans know about programs. And even if it's not this program, there's a lot of other programs. There's music therapy, some doing the drum circle with Resounding Joy, or, there's all types of different veteran programs that's free for veterans that they can get involved with. So whatever, keeps them at peace and raises their spirit, I'm all for it.
Absolutely. I'll put some links in the descriptions for the podcast so that will point them in that direction. Looking back at yourself then, what words of advice would you give your younger version of you? If you could take some words of wisdom from now and go back to when you were 15, 16, and give yourself some words of wisdom, what would they be?
Words of wisdom to myself. Probably stay focused, stay away from negative people, and just go for reach for your dreams. Believe in yourself, and it's good to have the right people around you, good encouraging people, and find out who your true friends are. Just things of that nature.
That's some good advice. What advice would you give to somebody who's looking at transitioning from military life to civilian life? Because obviously that can be a testing time.
Just make sure you're prepared. Like, go to school while you're on active duty if you can. Take courses. So be sure you utilize your GI Bill, and just be prepared, you know, because it's not easy out in the civilian sector, and you don't have the cushion that you would inside the military. You just have to prepare yourself mentally and make sure you have money saved and different things like that, just in case you don't get a job right away. If you believe in yourself, you can achieve and you can make it. And don't let no one discourage you. If your dreams is to do something else, like be a painter or something, don't just stay in the military if it's not you. What I'm doing now is more of me. You know, I don't think I was that much of a military person, but I feel like I did what I had to do. I'm not good at politics and stuff. I'm just like good at being me and being creative. So that's where I'm at. And I feel a lot better now. So, yeah.
And if we had some different advice for somebody who was leaving the military under different circumstances, like a medical discharge, where, you know, it's not been their choice to leave, because that, you know, that can, like it did, put somebody in a dark place. What advice would you give that person?
That's a tough one. Well, I always believe everything happens for a reason. So, you know, when one door closes, another one opens. So you just kind of got to figure out what something else you want to do. Like, you know, basketball was my passion, and now I found art. You just have to do some soul searching and figure out what you're good at and pursue that. And if you find something that you really love and enjoy, you should take that path, because then it'll feel like you're not working. I'm constantly working on things, but it doesn't feel like I'm working, because at the same time I'm having fun and I enjoy what I do. So I wouldn't change it for the world. Like, this is, I feel like that I'm in my element and creating and making stuff and going to art shows is where I'm supposed to be. And that's what I'm supposed to do.
Some very wise words. And finally, what does the future hold for you as a person?
Well, hopefully I get some good followers on Instagram, and people see my art and show my art. I would like to show my art to the world. That's mostly what I want. I want some exposure for my art, and I want to be able to tell my story and tell about the veteran programs that people can get involved in, and how important they are to me, and how they would probably be really important to other veterans. So, you know, I just feel like I'm on my journey, and I'm reaching for the stars. And I love what I do, and I'm just as I make stuff, I get excited, and I'm just looking for what else I'm gonna create. And I feel like this is the beginning. You know, I started making like little T-shirts and all different types of things, and I just feel like I'm just on my way. So.
Excellent. It definitely seems like the start of something amazing for you. Thank you very much for your service. Thank you very much for everything you're doing for veterans that are struggling. And thank you for bringing the world your art. It's been absolutely fascinating talking with you. I'm going to put links in the video to vetart.org and also your Instagram, see if we can bump up your followers. But honestly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. Thank you.